Welcome to Tori Macha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sivi Zuckerman, and today we will be studying Malachim Bet, Perek Chaf, Chapter 20. There are some moments in history which, when we look back on them retrospectively, we wonder if time stood still at that moment, waiting to see whether the scales of history will tip and change the destiny of the world forever. Sometimes, however, that moment passes unnoticed, seeming like every other moment in time, even if it's anything but that. This parak contains just that sort of moment, and the central actor in this drama is Chizkiyahu HaMelech. In the last two prakim, we discussed the confrontation between Malchut Yehuda and Ashur. The Assyrian leader Sanherib and his general and representative Rav Shake arrogantly believed in their own self-sufficiency and invincibility as leaders of the most powerful empire of the time. They mock Hashem's power and boast of their own strength, confident in their success, in their plans to crush Malchut Yehuda. In the face of each verbal attack and threat, Chizkiyahu turns to Hashem in sincere and heartfelt prayer, recognizing his complete dependence on Hashem and demonstrating his purity of motivation in asking Hashem to defend Malchut Yehuda in order to protect Kvod Shamayim, the honor of God's name in this world. Yeshaya responds with an astounding nevuah, saying that the supposedly invincible world-class army will disintegrate without a shot fired. As we saw in the last parak, this is exactly what happens. On its surface, our parak, Parak Chaf, chapter 20, seems to just wrap up some loose ends. However, we will see that the different events related in this chapter are part of the larger tapestry of events and themes that relate to the conflict between Chizkiyahu and Sancheirov. Our chapter discusses two seemingly unrelated events. One, Chizkiyahu's illness and subsequent healing by God, and two, the arrival of a Babylonian delegation to visit Chizkiyahu and his reception of these delegates, followed by a harsh nevuah given to Chizkiyahu by Yeshaya following the visit. How do these events fit into the context of the confrontation with Sancheirov, both chronologically and thematically? And what do they add to this drama? Let's take a look at the first event described here, which is Chizkiyahu's illness. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, relates that Yeshaya came to Chizkiyahu to give him a prophecy, saying, Ko amar Hashem, tzav l'beitecha, ki met ata v'lo techya. So said Hashem, instruct your household, for you are going to die. You will not get well. Rashi explains that Chizkiyahu's illness and appeal to Hashem took place 3 days before Mapalat Sancheirov, the destruction of Sancheirov's army. The Talmud in Brachos 10a explains that this illness was a punishment for Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu had seen with Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, that his children would be evil, and he therefore had decided not to marry and have children. Yeshaya explains to him that he shouldn't be playing God. He has no right to reject the mitzvah of Pururvu, the mitzvah to have children. Although his intentions were good, God's mitzvot are binding, whether we understand them or not. In face of this frightening prophecy, in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Chizkiyahu davens to Hashem. The verse states, Ana Hashem, zacharna et asher hithalachti lefanecha be'emet ubelivav shalem. Please Hashem, says Chizkiyahu, remember how I have walked before you sincerely and wholeheartedly. Va'tov be'enecha asiti, I have done what is pleasing to you. Va'yef Chizkiyahu bechi gadol, and Chizkiyahu wept profusely. Abarbanel explains that Chizkiyahu is emphasizing that the sin of not marrying came from a sincere place. He's asking Hashem to please judge him based on his positive motivations in not wanting to have an evil son. In response to Chizkiyahu's heartfelt prayer, Yeshaya is instructed by Hashem in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Shuv va'amarta el Chizkiyahu negid ami, go back and say to Chizkiyahu, the ruler of my people. We'll note in a moment that Negid Ami, this unique phrase, is significant here. Hashem then tells Yeshaya to say as follows, Ko amar Hashem Elokei David Avicha, so said Hashem, the God of your father David. I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, I'm going to heal you. Abravanel explains that the fact that Chizkiyahu did not marry and have children was specifically problematic for Chizkiyahu as the Negid Ami, as the leader of the nation, since his failure to have children would end the Davidic line of kings. Therefore, once Chizkiyahu did sincere tshuva, Hashem cured him miraculously in the merit of David, to whom Hashem had promised that his descendants would always survive and lead the Jewish people. Yeshaya continues in Pasuk Vav, verse 6, saying that Hashem will add 15 years to Chizkiyahu's life. And he says, Umikaf melech Ashur atzilcha ve'et ha'ir hazut. And I will also rescue you and your city from the hands of the king of Assyria. Ve'ganut yel ha'ir hazut lema'ani u'leman David avdi. I'll protect this city for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. Yeshaya then proceeds to cure Chizkiyahu by pressing a cake of figs on his skin, which miraculously heals his skin. However, explains Radak, Chizkiyahu was unsure whether he was truly cured, especially since Yeshaya had used such strong language in his original prophecy when proclaiming that Chizkiyahu would die. Chizkiyahu thought that perhaps Yeshaya was just trying to make him feel good, since he heard him crying loudly. Therefore, he asks Yeshaya for an oath, a sign from Hashem that he's really cured and will be strong enough to go to the Beit HaMikdash. Yeshaya reassures him that Hashem will give him a sign, utilizing, according to Rashi, a sundial clock, which Chizkiyahu's father Achaz had built. This was a tall pillar with indentations in it at regular intervals that indicated the time based on where the shadow of the sun hit the tower. Yeshaya told Chizkiyahu that he could choose either for the shadow of the clock to go 10 notches higher, with the sun setting faster than usual, or for the shadow on the clock to go 10 notches lower, with the light of the sun reversing its path and therefore setting slower than usual. Chizkiyahu chooses the second option, reversing the course of time by 10 degrees, since, explains Radak, this miracle will be much more obvious with time reversing its direction. Pasuk Aleph, verse 11, relates that this is in fact what takes place with the sun reversing itself by 10 degrees. Incidentally, the fact that the sign used involves the sun perhaps symbolizes the flawed nature of idol worship. The sun is the most obvious force that supports life on earth, and therefore it was a common object of worship in most pagan cultures. Here, the reversal of the sun's course by Hashem is a demonstration that the sun has no life and power of its own. It's completely controlled by Hashem. Back to our storyline, the commentators differ on whether the next incident described in the Psukim took place in response to the miracle of the sun after Chizkiyahu's illness, or whether it took place after the destruction of Sennacherib's army, which, depending on which commentators you're going with, are either simultaneous or at different times. In Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, Beredach Baladan, the king of Babel, Babylonia, sends letters and a gift to Chizkiyahu. The Gemara in Sanhedrin 96a explains that King Beredach Baladan usually took a long nap at midday. On the day of Chizkiyahu's illness, when the miracle of the 10 hours occurred, the king woke up from his nap to see that it was still morning. He was very angry at his servants, since he thought that he had slept for 24 hours until the next morning. Upon inquiry, his servants found out about the miracle with Chizkiyahu and the sun. Beredach then sent an envoy with gifts to find out more about this person for whom such a big miracle had been performed. The Malbim on Yeshaya 39:1, however, explains that the miracle of the sun is not one that Hashem would have performed for an individual. The purpose of the miracle, according to the Malbim, was to demonstrate that Ashur's conquest had not reduced God's power, as the Assyrians had so pompously declared, and that therefore all the nations should show respect for God's nation. According to the Malbim, this is why Beredach Baladan sent emissaries. The Babylonian envoys request, when they arrive in Jerusalem, that Chizkiyahu show them all of his treasures, and he happily complies. The Talmud in Sanhedrin 104a explains that Chizkiyahu showed the envoys exaggerated respect, even, according to Rashi, based on various midrashim, showing them the Aron and the Luchos. Instead of making use of this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for Kvod Shamayim, Chizkiyahu uses this as a chance to show off his wealth. In a similar vein to Chizkiyahu's manner of dealing with the emissaries, Yalchut Shimoni Anach adds another reason for Chizkiyahu's illness. This was Chizkiyahu's failure to say Shira, to sing songs of praise and gratitude to God in the wake of Mapalat Sancheirav, the miraculous destruction of Sancheirav's army. This medrash would fit with a different view of the chronology, placing the illness after Mapalat Sancheirav. It is these moments where Chizkiyahu has an unparalleled opportunity to be Megala Kvod Shamayim, to glorify God's name, by demonstrating to these foreign dignitaries that all of these things, whether the personal salvation from his illness, a miraculous sign from God, or the huge national miracle of a world-class army being decimated overnight, are directly from the omnipotent God in whom all power is vested. Both the lack of Shira after Mahalat Sanchirib and the showing off of his wealth to the Babylonians are incidents reflecting a lack of proper Hakaras HaTov, recognition of and appreciation for God's goodness. Chizkiyahu had displayed tremendous bitachon during the siege of Sanchirib and during his illness with his fervent prayers to God in both situations. Yet, in the wake of both salvations, he doesn't seem to turn to Hakaras HaTov. He shows off his wealth to the Babylonian envoys instead of using the miracles and the wealth that God had bestowed upon him as a way of proclaiming Hashem's greatness to one and all. It's hard to comprehend why Chizkiyahu didn't sing Shira. The Sfas Emes suggests that Chizkiyahu's failure to sing Shira wasn't due to a flaw in his personal spiritual level. To the contrary, for someone on his elevated level of trust in God, this enormous miracle was not surprising to him, seeming no different to him than our ability to breathe. However, the Sfas Emes continues, Chizkiyahu's failure to say Shira was a shortcoming in his position as the Jewish king. He had the opportunity to elevate the nation, as Moshe did with his Shira after Kriyat Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, helping them concretize a complete recognition of Hashem's power and love for them. And he didn't use it. Chizkiyahu's failure to lead the Jewish people in taking this awesome opportunity for recognizing Hashem's power, and in using the visit of the Babylonians to proclaim Hashem's greatness to the nations of the world, meant that despite being personally a tremendously righteous person, he could not fill the leadership role of Mashiach. As a natural consequence of his actions, Yeshaya follows the encounter with the Babylonian dignitaries with an ominous nevuah in Pasuk Yitzayin, verse 17. He says, Hine yamim ba'im v'nisa kal asher b'beitecha v'asher atzru avotecha ad hayum hazeh Bavela, lo yivater davar amar Hashem. A time is coming when everything in your palace, which your ancestors have stored up to this day, will be carried off to Bavel, to Babylon. Nothing will remain behind, says Hashem. Rashi explains that the punishment was mida k'neged mida, measure for measure. Chizkiyahu had told Yeshaya that there was nothing in his house that he didn't show the Babylonians. Similarly, there will be nothing left in his house in the end, because the Babylonians will cart it all off to Babel. While events and choices in our lives do not have the same cosmic implications as the opportunities afforded to Chizkiyahu, we can still absorb the fundamental messages in his challenge. Sometimes it's easier to turn to God in hard times, when we feel that we have nowhere else to turn, than it is to turn to God in good times, expressing authentic gratitude. Even though it may not be as natural to us, perhaps we can try to access that feeling of vulnerability that comes from gratitude. We can then try to connect to God from that place of gratitude for the abundance that Hashem gives us in our lives. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas Frida Ba Moshe Eliyahu.